Part 3. Our Current Reality. Our World, Here and Now. Our current culture, once grounded on Christian principles, has shifted to a postmodern secularism with a loss of regard for objective truth. Traditional Christian values no longer inform the basic social structure of our daily lives or governing policies. The statements of our nation's founders regarding unalienable rights were grounded in an understanding of objective truth, which today is being rapidly replaced by the prevailing theories of moral relativism and spiritual indifference. At one time, evangelism was primarily associated with sharing factual information that bolstered faith and informed individual feelings. Conversely, in today's world, we find that people are more interested in a holistic experience of feeling that enkindles faith, which is eventually supported by facts. The great news is that our Catholic Church is good at both approaches. However, in today's ongoing work of evangelization, we see that individuals and parish communities who recognize the need for a holistic approach are experiencing greater spiritual vigor and enthusiasm for the faith. Oestricker, Youth Ministry 3.0, page 100. Pursuit of truth will always be a foundational element of Catholic evangelization and catechesis, but leading with recitation of dogmas and doctrines misses a pivotal opportunity to win trust and speak to another's heart. When we focus on the basic truth and beauty of God's love for each person, we open the door to the possibility of deeper pursuit of a genuine relationship with God. In this age of disconnection and isolation, reaching out in authentic friendship models the beginning of a personal connection that is ultimately directed to Christ and His Church. Through sharing our personal faith, we witness to the vibrancy, wonder, and amazing adventure of belonging to God's family and a Catholic community. So many today are surrounded by and are often drowning in information. In a world driven by relativism, there are a number of easily accessed and often conflicting facts available at our fingertips. People are overinformed about the minutiae of their lives, but starved for a real sense of purpose and understanding. They desire physical and spiritual experiences that envelop them to the core. People, especially young people, are desperate to belong to something greater than themselves. They seek truth, beauty, and goodness. This has been the deepest longing of man's heart through all time. This longing reflects the innate desire placed in every soul by our Creator to know, love, and serve God through one's knowledge, love, and imitation of Jesus Christ. God loves that His wandering children seek truth, beauty, and goodness. This is the compass He has placed in the human heart to direct us back to relationship with Him and His Church. He wants all of His children not only to seek, but to know His desires for their hearts. God alone is the source of all truth, beauty, and goodness, and when we pursue these three elements grounded in the divine, we are drawn closer to God. Our culture, here and now. For centuries, the Catholic Church was the driving force in Western culture. Great works of art, music, and literature point to the profound influence of the Church. Most charitable institutions of the time, schools, hospitals, orphanages, and libraries, were founded by religious and lay members of the Catholic Church. These support structures recognized the dignity of each individual as a created son or daughter of God. In political and commercial arenas that are often motivated by personal gain, the Church has traditionally offered the constant reminder that the success of a true leader is measured by their response to the least among us, by serving, rather than expecting to be served. As institutions once operated by the Catholic Church and other faith-based ministries move to the for-profit sector or come under government control, we see that there are lasting effects on the fabric of our society. These Christian charities, committed to the service of individuals and communities, were guided and animated by truth, virtue, and gospel values. Many service agencies, under corporate or government control, operate without the guidance of Christian principles and values. Many have abandoned the traditional guideposts of the sanctity of human life, dignity of the person, concepts of mercy and justice, as well as basic moral tenets of right and wrong. Charitable efforts must reflect a holy response to the Holy Spirit. When giving is detached from the motivation of gospel love and discipline, it can easily slip into justification for bad behavior and avoidance of suffering. We know that only God's love can mend the brokenness of the human heart, dysfunctional homes, and a confused world. The Church, as the mystical body of Christ, is called to be the safe harbor for all of God's suffering children. But this work requires a commitment to love as Christ loved, and an intentional desire to put that love into action. The ever-expanding gap between the church walls and our neighborhoods, between parishes and the needs of the surrounding society, must be bridged. A church on mission, a church active in neighborhood streets and in places of pain, fear, or loneliness, is a church that shapes the culture. Christians who have had a transformative encounter with Jesus become missionary disciples who have a transformative effect on the surrounding culture. In living out your bold and vibrant love of Christ, you become a culture shaper. Our church here and now. Clergy abuse and other church scandals have broken the hearts and trust of Catholics and non-Catholics alike. Geiger, Pew Research Center. Catholics must be a part of the healing and earn back that trust. Clergy, religious, and the laity must recommit to ensuring the sanctity of the Catholic Church. As we share the good news of Jesus, we must remember that the memories of disturbing news reports about the Catholic Church are tangible in the minds of many. Each of us needs to be an exemplary witness of Christ and be ready to answer the honest, often difficult questions about the sins of our church's leadership. From the beginning of the church, there have been betrayers. Jesus had Judas, and we have our own in our modern-day church. We, like Jesus, must strive to stamp out their evil work and presence in Christ's church. We must commit to understanding by first listening to the outrage of our community. We must repent for our sins and those of our leaders. We must humbly love the hearts of others, seek Christ, and warmly share the redemptive story of Christ's love for sinners. A renewed heart faithfully strengthens a home and intentionally supports, in prayer and action, a renewed community. This is the process of restoring relationships to be Christ-centered in the Catholic Church and the culture that Archbishop Naumann desires for our archdiocese. Archbishop tells us, "This is not a moment for any of us to allow ourselves to yield to natural feelings of discouragement and despair. It is an occasion for all of us to recommit ourselves to living lives of integrity." The Leaven, from August 31, 2018. This is dynamic change for our hearts, homes, and communities. And you are a change agent. By the numbers. As we go into the mission field and share our faith with others, it is important to have an awareness of the environment. National studies offer the following data. Catholics and nuns. Catholics make up 20.8% of self-identified religious persons in the United States, including Christians and non-Christians. In comparison, religious nuns, that is spelled N-O-N-E-S, make up 22.8% of the same group. These nuns include those identifying as nothing in particular, to be 15.8% of the group. Pew Research Center, Religion in America. Most Americans that know a Catholic American feel more positively about religious groups, particularly Catholics and Jews, than they did in 2014. Despite the polarizing secular culture, Americans have become increasingly friendly to organized religion. In fact, a large majority of Americans, 86%, say they personally know someone who is Catholic. Mitchell, Pew Research Center. Numbers of former Catholics compared to Catholic converts. Nearly a third of all U.S. adults, 31.7%, were raised Catholic, and most of them continue to identify as Catholics today. But nearly 13% of all Americans are former Catholics, people who no longer identify with the faith, despite having been raised in the Catholic Church. By comparison, there are far fewer converts to Catholicism. 2% of all U.S. adults now identify as Catholics after having been raised in another religion or without a religion. This means that there are more than 6 former Catholics for every convert to Catholicism. Wormald, Pew Research Center. Cultural Catholics. Additionally, 1 in 10, 9%, of Americans self-identify as cultural Catholics. This group cites affiliation based on ancestry, culture, and/or beliefs. Some of these cultural Catholics nominally engage in faithful activities including attending Mass, receiving the sacraments, and observing the liturgical season of Lent. Some of these cultural Catholics may in the future even return to Catholicism. 43% of cultural Catholics who were raised Catholic say they could see themselves returning to the Church someday. Mashey, Pew Research Center. Here is some additional data about Catholicism in the United States. About half of those raised Catholic leave the Church, sometimes temporarily or permanently. 48% never left Catholicism. 52% left the Church at some point. The 52% who left the Church include 11% who returned to Catholicism, 13% who consider themselves cultural Catholics, 28% who view themselves as ex-Catholics, for a total of 41% who are no longer Catholic. The source for this data: Pew Research Center Survey of Catholics and Family Life, May 5th through June 7th, 2015. Never left Catholicism includes those who did not answer QN14. Here are some fast facts. Catholics in the United States by age, with a sample size of 7,061 respondents, courtesy of the Pew Research Center Religion in America, age distribution. Catholics in the United States by age, 18 to 24 years old, 17%. 30 to 49, 33%. 50 to 64, 29%. And 65 or older, 20%. Here is additional Pew Research Center data on Catholics in the United States by generational group. First, the millennials, born 1981 to 1996. Younger millennials, 11% Catholic, Older millennials, also 11% Catholic. Generation X, born 1965 through 1980, 28%. Baby boomer, born 1946 through 1964, 35%. Silent generation, born 1928 through 1945, 13%. Greatest generation, born before 1928, 2%. Further study. The following excerpt from Sherry Waddell's book, Fruitful Discipleship, Living the Mission of Jesus in the Church and the World, offers additional perspective on the large percent of Americans who already have some kind of connection to Catholics and/or the Catholic Church, and what that could mean for our evangelization and discipleship efforts. In 2014, the new Pew Religious Landscape Survey found that 45% of U.S. adults, approximately 110 million, are connected in some important way to Catholicism. This means that 110 million Americans feel some important bond with the Catholic Church or the Catholic faith. No other religious tradition in the United States has anything like this reach. It means that nearly one of every two American adults you meet has a significant tie to the Church. This excerpt is found at pages 55 through 57 of Waddell's 2017 work. Four basic categories of Catholic connections, also courtesy of Sherry Waddell. 1. 20% of U.S. adults have a Catholic identity. Ask them their religion, and roughly 49 million American adults will say, "I'm Catholic." 2. This is where the real surprise comes in. The second cohort of people with a significant connection to the Church are the 9% of American adults, 22 million, who say they are not Catholic religiously, but that nonetheless feel culturally or partially Catholic anyway. 3. Another 9% of American adults, that is, another 22 million people, call themselves ex-Catholics. These are not merely people who drifted away from the faith, but rather people who define themselves as having left the Church. It is a harder stance, often fueled by some kind of wound or anger or disbelief. Yet even among that group, 8%, 1.7 million, told Pew that they were open to returning. 4. This final group, which includes 8% of American adults, 20 million people, feel connected to Catholicism through Catholic family, friends, institutions, practices, or values. We stand at a stunning crossroads. Millions are jettisoning their Catholic identity, but simultaneously, nearly half the adult population of the United States feels some serious connection to the Catholic Church. Every one of those connections is a potential bridge of trust, across which we can walk as evangelizers to invite them to begin the journey to intentional discipleship, either by way of return for former Catholics or baptism. What an incredible evangelical opportunity if we have the will to take advantage of it. Our parish communities, here and now. Parishes play a significant role in creating a culture of evangelization. Every individual Catholic is provided the community of parish life as both a gift and a responsibility, much like a domestic family. We are given the gift of grace through the sacramental life and liturgy, as well as offerings of ministry and fellowship. Our Sunday experience is an important aspect of an irresistible Church. Father James Mallon says, "Church renewal is all about the three H's, hospitality, hymns, and homilies." Mallon, Divine Renovation, page 110. Others have called music, preaching, and community the holy trinity of church vibrancy. Catholic parishes are called to carry out the ministries of music and preaching in uniquely Catholic ways that reflect their specific functions as part of our liturgy. The Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches that song and music have a proper place in connection to the liturgy, in that they offer a beauty expressive of prayer, opportunity for the unanimous participation of the assembly, and the sacred character of the celebration. Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 1191. Our liturgies are not intended for entertainment. They are intended to be encounters with divine mysteries that, when celebrated well, are often deeply moving experiences for those who are fully, actively, and consciously engaged. Excellent liturgy. Liturgy that draws those present into the holy mysteries being celebrated should always be the goal. Good liturgy has the power to take a believer out of the world in which they feel beaten up or haggard and reveal God's love for them. This experience serves to refresh their spirit, unite them to His body, and renew their commitment to engage in the mission of the Church. As a delegate, you are being asked to listen to the people in your parish pews and others within your parish boundaries. How might you enhance your parish's Sunday experience? The human heart longs for transformative encounters. Parish and diocesan offerings in the form of retreats, programs, and small group gatherings provide opportunities for such encounters and help build community. Belonging to a community creates feelings of welcome and warmth. Programs, such as Light of the World, Sign, Teams of Our Lady, Encuentro, Cursillo, Christ Life, Alpha, and Christ Renews His Parish, have powerfully affected hearts in many of our parishes. These programs have provided a platform for parishioners to share their personal stories and journeys with each other. These close community experiences encourage deep sharing of the interior life and serve to shrink the distance between people. Spiritual encounters with the Lord are very often revealed in close, small communities. When we take the time to know and care for each other, we invest in the creation of community. Hospitality, welcome, and the Sunday experience are greatly enhanced when parishioners know and love each other. Building strong community can be a slow process, but the results are robust and enduring. What can your delegation do to build greater community in your individual sphere of influence and in your parish community? Our mission, here and now. Each one of us has experienced the difference between genuine concern and a selfish agenda. We have not only been on the receiving end, but have also engaged others in an inauthentic relationship at some point in our lives. This is the result of sin and our human tendency toward pride. When we place our desires above the dignity of another, we enter into a relationship of use. This type of selfish relationship must always be avoided, especially in the work of sharing Christ. In reflecting genuine concern, the first response must always be to listen. As stated by Young Life founder Jim Rayburn, one must earn the right to be heard. www.younglife.org. This is especially true in the world today. We are constantly bombarded by counterfeit offers of selfish pleasure and personal gain. We have a multitude of options to feel better at any given moment, with no recognition of the deepest void for God in our lives. We are surrounded by messages offering false freedoms and disingenuous love. If the world around us is going to know the freedom and love of Christ, believers must bring His message to them. We are called to be missionaries within the context of our daily lives. We cannot presume for those outside of the church to travel to our buildings or attend our events. We must be willing to travel to them. Pope Francis tells us that it is not Christian to expect that our brothers and sisters, who are seekers, should have to knock on our doors. We ought to go out to them, bringing not ourselves, but Jesus. He sends us, like those disciples, to encourage others and to raise them up in His name. He sends us forth to say to each person, God is asking you to let yourself be loved by Him. Pope Francis, Mass Homily, October 28, 2018. Few may be called to live out their mission in the traditional sense of traveling to foreign lands, but each one of us is called to mission where we stand. We must pray for the Holy Spirit to show us how to meet our neighbors where they are, where we are most needed. When we make ourselves open and available, God will always be present. We know and trust that the Holy Spirit is at work in each person, regardless of the response we might see in their lives. What is needed to bring Christ to others is a person open to the work of the Holy Spirit and actively reflecting His love in that moment of encounter. Catholic teaching tells us that evangelization is the essential mission of the Church. Pope Paul VI, Evangelii Nuntiandi, paragraph 14. In response to the gift of faith He has placed in our hearts, we desire to know, love, and serve God in our daily lives. To do this, we must rest in God. Our strength for mission is found in making time to ponder Scripture and to pray intimately and deeply with our Lord. In focusing our thoughts and actions on Him, we grow in relationship to His merciful heart for each one of us. To truly know and love God creates an abundance of grace that overflows from our heart to encounter the hearts of others. In this encounter, we bring the good news of Jesus into every human situation, seeking to convert individuals and society by the divine power of the gospel itself. Evangelii Nuntiandi, paragraph 18. We are not required to have all the academic answers, but to respond to the movement of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and relationships with others. We are called to trust. The greatest commandments given to us in Scripture are to love God above everything and to love one another as He has loved us. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. This mandate requires us to prioritize and deepen our personal relationship with Christ and His sacramental Church. True love for another person obliges us to deeply desire this relationship for them as well. In following God's greatest commands, you are called to this great work of introduction. You are a pivotal player in building a culture of evangelization. Engaging in this work is a genuine response to the most significant call we receive in our baptism: to reflect Christ's love in witnessing lives of holiness and joy. This is a bold endeavor that requires deep faith and great trust. Unless we maintain an ongoing and meaningful relationship with Christ, we will not be able to offer this reflection to others. When we, as people of God, are spiritually alive, we become magnets to those that are lost, wandering, and seeking around us. In sincerely following Christ with an open and trusting heart, we become disciples. As members of the body of Christ, our love for others compels us to share our Savior, to magnify the grace and glory that we have individually been given and freely accepted. We become the initial experience of God for others. This is living faith in action. This is missionary discipleship, and you are invited to be a missionary disciple. As Catholic Christians, we are called to build a culture of evangelization in our own hearts with an intentional effort to foster personal prayer and intimate relationship with Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, inflame our hearts. We are called to build a culture of evangelization within our families, with a focus on developing safe havens for love and mercy inside our domestic churches. Come, Holy Spirit, inflame our homes. We are called to build a culture of evangelization within our parish neighborhoods as we model holy living in charity and service that reflects the desire of God's heart for all people to experience peace, love, and goodness. Come, Holy Spirit, inflame our communities. And finally, this from Monsignor Richter. If Jesus has given us the mission to evangelize, then he wants us to have and to experience a lived relationship with him. Do I give myself permission to want that? Do I give myself permission to embrace Jesus' desire to have that relationship with me? Do I often tell Jesus that I want to experience his presence and love? The first and last work of evangelization is to long for that more and more.